You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I don't even know where to start on this topic because there's so many different stories going on in Minneapolis, going on in Minnesota. They all kind of bleed into one another, but it's getting absolutely crazy. And I guess I'll start with Governor Tim Walz's comments. Do you have no decency? Do you have no decency? We have someone dead in their car for no reason whatsoever. Really? And I don't want to be right about this, but I said if they do this, they're going to create a chaotic situation where someone innocent is going to get killed. And they did it. Now we hear more political rhetoric. I didn't know that there was political rhetoric around enforcement of laws. And I have been totally consistent on this. Both sides, critical of the right, critical of the left. As an elected official, you do not get to choose which laws you are going to enforce. You take an oath to enforce them all. And what makes this whole matter even worse, the primary mission of Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Border Patrol and HSI is to defend the homeland and to enforce the laws on the books relative to immigration. How someone can stand up there in an elected position as a governor of a state and say to a federal law enforcement authority, do you have no decency for doing and enforcing the laws, which is their primary mission? They would be less than if they did nothing. And I guess that's what they expect them to do. Nothing. They don't like the fact that they're in these cities. And it's interesting about Democrats, right? If you recall not too many years ago, let's take a walk back on the trail of history. Democrats were very much opposed to state and local government getting involved in immigration. They didn't want it. No, this was carved out to the federal government. And the federal government alone. In fact, they went to court on this issue. But here we are years later because it works for their political rhetoric that they're standing up for someone who's in this country illegally. Now, that doesn't make much sense to me at all. How do you want it? You can't have it both ways. This is absolutely ridiculous. This governor is a complete total embarrassment. Decency? It's indecent to enforce the laws of the United States, the laws of the respective state that you're in, the laws of the city, the municipality. It's indecent to do all of that? Or is that just carved out for any organization that might be associated with the Donald Trump administration, which is more of the Trump derangement syndrome? What is it? Who is in the best position to avoid what is going on in the streets of this country? First, the illegal immigrant who decides to come across the border and violate the laws of the United States. That person is in the best position to do the right thing and not create a situation that might bring inconvenience, if you want to call it that, arrest, and deportation of oneself and their family. We talk about splitting families up. I am sick and tired of hearing that. Every time we made an arrest, in the 90s, we'd make 30,000 felony arrests a year. We split up 30,000 families. Let's see, people going to the streets, humming rocks and snowballs and knocking windows out of JPSO vehicles? No, because we're supposed to be a nation of laws. I was elected, my predecessor Harry Lee was elected to enforce the laws of the state of Louisiana and the laws of the parish of Jefferson. That was supposed to be the social contract. That's the understanding of how this whole thing is set up. All of a sudden now, this is not vogue. It's indecent. Who's the second person to be in line that their action can ensure that stuff like this wouldn't happen? How about the governor of the state of Minnesota? And how about the mayor of Minneapolis? Neither one of them honor ICE detainers. Neither one of them, who have hundreds upon hundreds, and they've released thousands back onto the street, illegals with criminal records. Because it's not vogue. It doesn't work to serve the purpose of the Democratic Party as it relates to the safety and security of, yes, what I thought we should have, the citizen privilege. And I'm not embarrassed to say it. I want it. I want to enjoy it. We deserve it. We've paid for it. We have sacrificed for it. How in the hell have we lost sight of what this is all about? We do not pay, and I said this a number of times as sheriff. A lot of people didn't like it. I didn't really care. But we do not pay the men and women of law enforcement, the first responder community, to be spit on, to be kicked, to have snowballs thrown in their face, to be pushed around, to be shoved, to be blocked by vehicles, to be run over by vehicles, to be intimidated while they're trying to fulfill the mission of that law enforcement agency. We don't pay them for that. And each and every one of those individuals should be put in jail. The problem is, they're completely and totally outnumbered. So who's third in line to ensure that these kind of things don't happen? The Minneapolis Police Department. This guy, Mayor Jacob Frey, is an idiot. Threatening ICE, telling them to get the F out of Minneapolis, calling whatever it is that they do BS, fanning the flames. He's the one causing chaos and distrust. They're the ones that are telling folks to put their bodies on the line, to disrupt. And to intervene in an otherwise legal activity. The investigation relative to the immigration status of certain individuals. We have lost our minds. You will recall that when constitutional sheriffs refused to enforce handgun laws and firearm regulations in states that made them more severe, I called them out. They collectively said they weren't going to do it. And I said then, this is the beginning of the end. If we're going to start picking and choosing which laws we're going to enforce at that level, the whole basic principle of this country and the way that it operates is now gone. You do not want me, as the elected sheriff, on a whim to decide which ones I'm going to enforce or which ones I'm not going to enforce. And it gets even worse now. We have judges that are refusing to find people that assault federal officers guilty. The guy that threw the sandwich in the face of the ICE officer. Not guilty, let him walk. What? It's on video. You don't get to do that. And I beg you, put yourself in that position. What would you like to see happen? I'm sure you're going to press charges and you'd like to see the individual suffer the consequences and have justice be served. Don't be misled by this rhetoric of the left, right? That they're the ones that are causing all of this. These folks were hired to enforce those very laws.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Now, let's talk about the strategy. This is no new strategy. You've heard me say this before. We assisted and facilitated ICE here for many years. Nobody actually knew about it. We did it. We deported more illegals out of Jefferson Parish than any other jurisdiction per capita during the first 4 years of the Obama administration. Obama was known as a deporter in chief. During his election, he talked about the very same things that Donald Trump talked about during his. But somehow, this became a political issue as it related to votes and as it related to the census and as it related to how we're going to divide up jurisdictions and congressional seats and so forth. And now it's become this political volleyball, and I, for one, am not willing to sacrifice the men and women of the first responder community for the sake of the politics of individuals. These individuals, like Fry, like Waltz, are cowards. And I've been consistent on this as well. Elect people that are willing to consume political capital in order to do the right thing. Do not allow them to stare the obvious in the face and walk around it. You will regret the moment that you do. And when we talk about this issue, you know what we shouldn't do? We shouldn't interject Trump. Because almost every elected president for the last two decades has said the same thing about immigration. Plain and simple. People are saying, oh, you're conflating this. We're not conflating anything, right? And let's talk about the what went on in the committee yesterday, which was real interesting. And you've heard me say that our immigration policy has to be devised in a way to ensure the best interests of this country. And what was really compelling is what came out during this hearing. So Brendan Belew, who was a former DOJ prosecutor, was a Democrat witness brought before the House committee yesterday. And Congressman Gill from Texas asked the following questions of this individual. First, does large-scale Somali immigration make Minnesota stronger or weaker? Belew, certainly stronger. Do you know what percentage of Somali-headed households in Minnesota are on food stamps? Belew, no. Gill, 54%. Do you know what that number is for native Minnesota headed households? Belew wanted to engage into a discourse about what native households meant. And Gill says only 7% of non-Somali Minnesotan households were on food stamps. Gill, what percentage of Somali-headed households in Minnesota are on Medicaid? I don't know, Belew said. Gill tells him the figure's 73%. And compared that to the number of non-Somalis on Medicaid, which is 18%. Gill says that's quite an astounding difference. I think we should agree on that. Gill went on to say that 81% of Somali-headed households were on welfare in general. Of course, Belew didn't know that. But this whole thing is really makes Minnesota stronger. Gil, let me just ask you, after 10 years of being in the United States, what percentage of Somali immigrant households continue to be on welfare? Blue. I don't know. The number is 78%, he replied. Gil goes on to say that half of the working age Somalis who have been in the United States for 10 years or more speak English very well. Half. That seems to be pretty low, Gil says, right? It doesn't sound like something that makes our country stronger to me when you collectively look, and I'm ad-libbing, you collectively look at all of these stats. I think most Americans would agree with me on that. Well, this is one American that definitely does. Because I've pointed out before, we have over 40% of U.S.-born citizens living below the federally identified poverty level, and we do a crappy job in setting up a system that makes sense to have those folks reach some level of being able to support themselves and move their lives forward. And we should not be importing more as we face, what, $38 trillion deficit now? Math has no emotion. Then you add to this as to what's going on relative to the fraud that exists in Minnesota. It's all beginning to make sense now, right? About what's happening here. Because they're voting as a block. They're not willing to consume political capital. They're not willing to address this. They're afraid of this particular population because they do vote as a block. And there doesn't want to be any accountability. And separate and apart from that, it's not even just directed now at the Somali population. The Committee on Accountability in Minnesota yesterday revealed that HHS in Minnesota is now manipulating documents during a course of inquiry and investigation in order to cover their proverbial derriere. It seems to me that in Minnesota, we've lost all sense of law and order. In order to give away your tax dollars, they have set up schemes, look the other way, are not embracing accountability, do not want to be intrusive. In fact, some of the whistleblowers were threatened. They were followed. They were attacked in social media for bringing forward the fact that the political infrastructure in Minnesota was looking the other way and allowing these abuses to take place. Incredible. They have a privilege that no one else has. We're willing to risk our political careers, our career in government, doctoring documents and the like. And then when you talk to them and you challenge them about these findings, they want to blame it on Trump. Interestingly, this investigation started under the Biden administration. And in fact, some of the very convictions that they're trying to blame on Trump didn't happen under Trump. They happened during the Biden administration. But that's their go-to. It's Trump's fault. All of this is Trump's fault. And people are buying it. Doesn't make any sense. Educate yourself. And if you don't think that this will move across the country, you're sadly mistaken. Because already, what they're finding in other states, that ate a smart pill and said, hey, how closely have we looked internally at some of these same programs, all this money that came down during the pandemic, all this money that was here, there, and everywhere, how closely have we looked? They started looking, and guess what they found? Abuse. We ought to be familiar with that, right? Day before yesterday, I think it was revealed that some of these ARPA funds that were set aside for the recruitment and retention bonus for the NOPD, that the money's not there, that was allegedly set aside for that purpose. Where is it? Who decided the change? Where's the accountability? Where's the documentation? How close will we look? But if you're okay with paying more taxes, then it's all good. We don't have to worry about any of this. We'll be right back.